from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You know, it's like a good idea after you've had a few.
Yeah,
that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
I'll bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done talking about them. I won't talk about them anymore until they start hitting. I don't know when that is. It could be a week. It could be 3 days. It could be 2 months. It's gone longer than it's needed to.
We start every day and every hour by saying,
hey man, I'm done, Mike. I can't talk about this team anymore because this is happening way too often. And now it is not a trend. It is not, well, they'll be better. It is not, oh, they'll snap out of it. It is not, oh, we'll change the lineup. This is who we are. And last night getting blanked is just another indicator of how bad this season has been for our Atlanta Braves offensively. Guys, since April 24th, no one has scored fewer runs than our Atlanta Braves in the major leagues. Mike, from April 24th until now, 146 runs. That's last in the league. How in the hell are we the last in the league in that category?
Yeah, when everybody collectively just can't seem to find it. I mean, literally lost, totally lost. Slugging percentage, I saw a stat, and Grant McCauley will join us later. Slugging percentage is an all-time low since like 1989. That's back when the pitchers were hitting in the National League. But tell that to the Orioles, because they got 105 home runs right now. Yankees have got 101. Braves have 65. They win, they lose by the home run. They die, they live by the home run. They don't hit home runs, we don't win. That's it, plain and simple.
Lost four straight. We are 10 back. 10 back from the Phillies. And it's not July 1st. So if you have the answers, let us know. 404-726-0929. What is the reason behind this? You guys all know that this team has been built for the long term, the long haul. Mike, we're young. We've got all this athleticism and speed and power. And you guys tell us. 404-726-0929. We'll take your phone calls right now. What is the reason the Braves are not hitting? Because I don't have the answer. And, Mike, I want to tell everybody right now, oh, this is the reason, and this is what's going to happen. And there is no logical reason as to why this team is last in the league in scoring runs since April 24th. That number is startling. And if you think for whatever reason, well, we're just going to go on a tear. Hey, we're going to run off 10 or 12 or 15 in a row. When at any point this season have they looked like they're going to do that? No,
and that's just it. I was talking to a Braves fan today who's like, you know, it's, we're not even at the point we should be. What the are you watching? Look, I get it. Fans, look, you can be a good fan and be, we'll get them tomorrow, gee willikers. But this team looks like crap. This team is lifeless. This team is missing the spark of Acuña. You know, we've got the pitching was okay. Max, I mean, that's a good hitting team. Max is, you know, you look at the Orioles and say, hey, you know, hopefully we can score 5 or 6 runs. But this is why, guys, when you all think it's a freaking softball game, you know, which the Braves have made it look like the better half of the last 6 years, not generally how it always goes in an era, or at least this year, where the ball's not traveling like it usually does. This team looks lost. Look, I've been joking around with Grant every day about firing sites. I'm not saying, I don't see anyone lose his job, but hey, call Chipper, you know, I don't know. Go get a Ouija board and talk to, you know, Eddie Matthews, but figure something out to get this team hitting.
And here comes Spencer Schwellenbach to the rescue.
See, that's the thing. When you're not hitting and you're going through this, and then you've got to bring in every fifth starter is a guy who's really not experienced, it doesn't help.
All right. Oh, we'll take some phone calls. You tell us.
I'm done talking about it. 404-726-0929. And when I was worried about this a month and a half ago, It's early, it's May, it's the team, this is what they do. Is this what we do?
No, we've never done it like this.
Not like this. Not like this.
Not like this. Now, as one guy reminded me today that we're still the number one team in the wild card, and I've said that. I said, kiss the division goodbye. Just focus on hopefully this team finding some kind of groove in August and September, and we can win the World Series up from the wild card like everybody else seems to be doing of late. So I'm not worried about that. But at some point, yes, you've got to look like you belong.
Wild card,
this team doesn't look like they belong.
Mike, I know. I hear you, and you're right. I just – really? That's where – who cares? We're not going to win anything if we're not scoring runs. We're last in the league in that department. Guys, just like in the NBA, you know what wins? Scoring baskets. You know what wins in the NFL? Scoring touchdowns. You know what wins in Major League Baseball? Scoring runs. We haven't done it enough. So if you're telling me the wild card is the only out, and Mike is probably right about this, I don't think we could do anything. You think this team does anything?
Well, here's the thing. Because if, as we said, you really can't, what are you going to do? You're going to go reach out and trade for somebody who's looking to make $25 million to play the outfield and one of the corner positions left or right? They're not going to do that. You know, you're going to try to find a Soler, a Rosario.
That's right.
Alex is going to try to find somebody to try to catch that lightning in a bottle. And hopefully we do. But, you know, as you and we said, you know, Kelnick is what he is. He's a decent piece, you know, but he's got to do better. Duvall has not hit. We're never seeing Duvall bat 250, Carl. That's not what he does. But he's struggled. You know, Austin Riley struggles. Ozzie struggles. Michael Harris struggles. Nobody's, you know, creating a spark at the top of the order. Murphy doesn't hit, period. Murphy hasn't hit. Murphy isn't a great hitter.
Murphy!
Can we just call it what it is?
Who's Murphy?
Exactly. Murphy's a great defense. He's a great defensive catcher and an average at best hitter.
Sean Murphy?
No, Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy hasn't done jack.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy?
Yeah. But he's under contract. All these guys, that's the thing. All these guys are under contract. The only thing you can do at the trade deadline, hope you can find some kind of role player that can give you a spark, platoon somebody left or right, and then go get some more pitching. For when you make your run.
And
that's
Mike,
it.
Mike, can we tell our audience, we love you guys. Come here, let's hug. We are not going to go out and spend $20 or $30 million dollars on any particular hitter between now and the end of the season. Come here. Come here. Come here. We love you. But stop it. We're not doing that. The guys that are on this team have to figure it out. And I'm done talking about it until they do. 404-726-0929. You guys tell us what's wrong. That's where we're at today. We left the show yesterday. I told you. I said, Mike, this Orioles team's pretty good. And I said, look at this. The odds makers have the Braves favored. You know what that is? Braves brand.
Right.
They're not good. They're not better than the Orioles.
Guys, the team collectively is not hitting. As I said, you've got, by the way, Murphy is a terrible hitter. I mean, he's not a great hitter.
Sean Murphy?
He's never been a great hitter. Okay, he's a great defense. He can throw guys out at second. That's something that our Darno can't do. I get that. But, I mean, you've got a lot of holes right now. All the things that are supposed to be the strong point of this team are all malfunctioning. And as Carl and I have been pointing out, your payroll is top 7.
Ugh.
Next year, top 4. So you're not taking on salary. You're not trading for some big bopper on some underperforming team somewhere in the American League. You're not going to do that.
No. Want to hear from you guys. You got answers? We got questions.
Right.
All right. We're going to talk plenty about the Falcons along the way. We'll talk some NBA finals. tough day in the NBA with the loss of Jerry West. Mm. The logo passes away at age 86. Mike and I will certainly reflect and talk about that along the way today. One of, if not the all-time greatest. It's just that simple. And what he did as an executive, I think, is even more impressive than what he did as a player. We'll get into that along the way. Also, guys, as we will get a chance to talk to Danny Green coming up a little bit later this hour, and we get ready for the U.S. Open. Tiger Mike talking a lot of stuff like he's going to do something.
Yeah. Look, I love Tiger. We both love Tiger. But, you know, it's an impossible golf course. I've been arguing with all the golf purists out there.
What are they saying?
Well, these guys are apparently all scratch golfers. There must be a barrel of laughs to play around with.
Yeah.
I'm talking about golf for entertainment. No, I don't want to see. I get it. The Valhalla course looked like it was like, you know, the Valspar Open, right? I mean, it looked like somewhere guys are bombing it. And Lowe's goes, yes, I understand it should be a true test of golf. But the USGA has this thing about making the pros look like us. I don't want to watch that on the weekend, okay? I mean, can we split the difference and maybe 10 under wins the tournament as opposed to what, maybe 2 over? You know, having like, literally the greens the size of a pool table, and they roll like pool tables. And I know that they love the natural sand with weeds in it is sand with weeds in it, okay? I don't see the aesthetic that people love. And the only people who like Pinehurst are people who apparently like to spend thousands of dollars for expensive golf lessons when they go out there for a week. I've never understood this place. I don't like it. And I'm really bored already with this argument.
It's manicured.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
There's no signature hole. I can't wait to. No, exactly. Oh, a long par 3. That's not a signature hole. Okay. You know the holes at Pebble. I know that, you know, Players is its own thing, but you know there's great golf courses around the country and around the world that you recognize. There's nothing like that at Pinehurst. And I got these guys, these golf snobs, going at me with this. You go play Pinehurst. Knock it out for $600 a round.
This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store this season. Check out themancavestore.com. All right, I want to grab the phone.
But I hope Tiger can. But he's dealing with a lot. You got to be pinpoint accurate with your irons.
Well, and we know that he hasn't had that kind of practice. We talking about
practice.
Let me ask Corey. Corey, what's wrong with the Braves, man? Corey, what's going on with the Braves, man?
Man, I think what it is, they overcompensated last year, didn't make the championship, so they come in with a mindset, we ain't going to go too hard so early, get hot at the right time, and now they're panicking because they had nobody got hot. So now they're panicking and we just can't find the answer.
Now they are panicking. Corey, I think you're on to something. Look, Mike and I said this a couple of weeks ago. We thought they were pressing. Corey, thank you for listening. And Connor and Cody, all you guys, hold on. We're going to come back and get your calls because I want to hear you. I don't have the answers. I'm done talking about it. You guys tell us why this team is not hitting.
But he touched on
they're pressing.
When everybody, as we said, somebody's up there trying to hit a 5-run home run or something. I mean, you've got to stay within yourself. Everybody tells you that. And we've seen Matt Olson slowly come out of it. He's up to 241. But, again, across the board, this team just looks like it's maybe a trade, Carl, gives them a spark. And everybody goes back to the Jock Peterson thing. Like, that's easy to say that. But maybe they need to get somebody in here who loosens up this clubhouse. Because I agree with the call. They're tight.
All right, Connor, you guys hold on. Oscar Stant, why isn't this team hitting? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we'll talk to Danny Green about these NBA finals. It does not look like Porzingis is going to play. Again, no official word. They're not going to put that out until later. But I think tonight's the night for the Mavs. With that said, 404-726-0929. We're talking about our Braves. I'm done talking about them. Because why this is happening, I have no idea. It shouldn't be happening with the money invested and the talent on this team. And now everybody's like, oh, what's wrong?
Right.
We are, again, 10 games out of first place. That matters because it just tells you how much better the Phillies are than we are. And it mattered last year and the year before and the year before that when we were so much better than everybody else. You can't be 10 games out and we're not even to July 1st. Not with this team. And the reason is we're not scoring runs. Let me talk to Connor. Connor, thanks for your patience. You're on Dukes and Bell. Why is this team not hitting, Connor? What's up?
Hey, man. I've just had a lingering thought just as this season has progressed, and it was probably the biggest change for the Braves in the offseason, and that was losing Ron Washington to the Angels. I'm not sure what that's done to the locker room or, you know, if it's, you know, just not having them there to help some of these guys get through this.
I think it's fair.
Out on the other side.
I think it's fair, Connor.
We think that, you know, because Ron, of course, his go-to is working with fielding and getting the guys, you know, both in the infield and the outfield, Carl, to be the best they can be. But there's a coolness to Ron and a looseness to Ron, I think, right, that we can agree is missing. I heard Andy and Randy talking about it earlier. You and I have talked about it. It's like we don't know Tui Asisopo like we knew Wash. Wash is like, you know, he was a human pinwheel to third base, Carl, you know, very aggressive and, you know, a thing that maybe is that an X factor in the clubhouse? I don't know. You know, Ron can't hit for 25 or, you know, 20 guys, but still there was a perception that he kept things loose.
I'll say this because they're not here anymore. They're with the Angels. But both Ron and our first base coach, Eric Young.
Your buddy, EY, yeah.
EY and I go way back. Ron Washington, here's what we're missing, and this is not a knock on the guys that are currently in those positions, but there is something to be said that I sit and talk with guys and I get to know them. And you know what gets them going. You know how they tick. And this is not a knock on Snicker because Snicker understands I have to manage guys and there needs to be a line of demarcation, a distance between the decision-making that happens and then your position coaches who should be able to push the buttons of your players. Okay? And then guess what happens? Ron Washington goes back and says, look, Olsen's having a little problem right now. And then Snicker says, what's going on? And then they start talking about it, and Snit then has to get involved because he's been now notified through the process, Mike, but he's not over-managing these guys. That is something that nobody's talking about. You can tell me all you want. Like, the fielding stuff is real. It's the personalities and knowing them. And I'm telling you this firsthand. It's like with Acuña last year before he won the MVP, and I'm talking to both of those guys at spring training, and I said, what's Acuña look like? And he said, man, he's going to win the MVP. And I laughed, like, come on, you know. And he's like, no, I'm telling you, he is determined. He's doing everything. They had the inside track. Connor, I don't think you're wrong on this. Let's talk to Cody on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cody, why is this team not hitting? Hey, man.
So, yeah, Ron Washington, he's definitely missed. That's a thought that's been in my head. But also what the very first caller said before break, too, I think they've just been tired of that long break. You know, in the postseason at the end of it, once they win the division, and I hope it's not the case because it's not very professional, but maybe these guys are still treating this like spring training and they're just kind of floating along and they're hunting for that wild card spot so they can catch fire at the right time and hit that postseason hard, hopefully.
I just think baseball professionals don't do this. There's no way to sandbag as a professional athlete. I mean, you got 162. I mean, yes, the NFL, you can't take a week off. You can't take a cup. You can't take a home stand off in Major League Baseball. These guys have too much pride, and there's bonuses, and there's all sorts of things in their contract. It's not. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I'm just thinking, I don't know, Carl, how we get there. I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to draw a script where we look like crap right now, but if we can just get hot in August, but there's no way of knowing you're going to get hot.
No.
You're over a third through the season. Maybe this team doesn't get hot. which I know no Braves fans want to accept that right now.
Cody, appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for checking us out here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, we're talking about the Braves. I'm not. You are. Because I'm done talking about them. Why is this team not hitting? This is the trend. It is now what we are. 146 runs total since April 24th, last in the league. There's no way you even would have put $5 on that at the start of the season. Oh, by the way, we're going to get to June 15th, and we're going to be last in the league in runs scored. $5 bet. You wouldn't have taken it.
Right.
JB, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Why is the team not hitting, JB?
Hey, man. Yeah, I just think it's karma. They're gonna flip this around. You look at them when they won the World Series. What were they? August, they were under 500, were they not? I can't remember.
They were.
Exactly.
They were.
But, hey, keep doing what you're doing. You know, maybe this will get them fired up. They've been on top all this time, and they need to get hungry. And you, I think
JB, you think they're complacent? You think they're complacent? You think they are satisfied?
No. Look, man, you got 750, 800 baseball players in the league, best in the world, and they're going to have hot and cold streaks. Hmm. You know, I'd much rather get hot in September, August, September, going into the playoffs. I mean, look what happened last year. We were the team. We were supposed just to go collect the trophy, and look what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
But, I mean, awesome. Cool. Awesome. Right, Austin Riley's a .271 career hitter. You know, he's batting 50 points below his average. I mean, everybody on this
50?
Team.
50?
Yes. Yes. I mean, go look at it right now. He's
50 points?
He's .271. He's batting .272 right now. Hold on. I'll tell you right now. Frickin' computer. Sorry, man.
.220?
Hold on. I'll get to it. I hate this. You know, by the way, off the record, we need some new stuff in here. But anyway, I digress. .225.
It's pathetic.
So he's 46 points off his average.
It's pathetic. I mean, like, seriously, at this point, you have a rhythm. You feel good. Your body's good. You are at a place now that you're way past spring training. You're way past the first month of the season. I never look at guys' batting averages the first month of the season because it's the first month of the season. But now we're in a different spot.
Look, you gave Michael Money Harris that money. You know, you bet on the come for him. He's batting .248, but he's not a good leadoff hitter. You can't use him there. The only guy who's carrying his weight is Ozuna. The only guy. And that's literally one guy. Olsen went through the worst slump of his life. He's now beginning to turn things around. He's batting .241. You know, you go through the lineup. Arcia, .232. Albies batting. You know, Albies has never been like a .300 hitter, but still, there's no juice. And then the corners, Duvall's batting .174. Kelnick's batting .261. So he's coming up. But, and I mean, we already mentioned Murphy. Murphy can't hit right now.
Sean Murphy?
That's right.
404-726-0929. Last night, prime example. Harris leads off with a triple. We're struggling.
Should he have been at inside the park home run? He's looking at it, wouldn't he?
Well,
I mean,
at that point, go.
Look, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be the angry Braves fan who gets on Acuna for dogging. I just thought, you know, he took a bit of a glance at it.
But
out
Mike,
of the box.
Here's the deal, and I don't disagree. Like at this point, we're struggling for runs.
You don't
go.
Need that. Right.
But he gets a triple. Somebody bunt. Let's get a run. Can we get something going?
Yeah. I thought maybe you'd do the. Remember, he did that. We thought they were starting to get things cooking in Chicago when they did the suicide squeeze.
Yes.
Just something to get it rolling.
Give me something. Okay. Next inning, men on first and second. You get nothing. Say it with me. Nothing. This is where we are. This is not us. This is not how we've played. This is not our team. This is not our offense. Stan, tell us why this team's not hitting, Stan. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Hey man.
Good. Love your show, man. What you just said was what I was going to say. Get back to the fundamentals more than anything, like I said, because this team lives and dies by the home run. I've been following the Braves since the 80s, back with Dale Murphy. I played baseball for 15 years. Michael Harris, they should have tried to at least give him a squeeze bunt or something like that. I've always been taught, get him in, get him on, get him over, get him in. So go back to the fundamentals. And I see a lot of guys that are guessing at the plate, taking a lot of third strikes.
Ooh.
See the ball. Hit the ball, get back. Even Ronald Acuna, love him. Ronald Acuna, I counted. He struck out 15 times before he got injured, taking strike three.
He was struggling.
Man, how do you take strike three? Yes.
He was struggling.
Hit the ball, get back to the fundamentals. And I would say, Snit, tell your players, let's bunt. We got a man on second. Let's do a bunt. Get him over. Sacrifice fly. Get him home. fundamentals. Arizona Diamondbacks, that's what they did a lot of last year to get into the playoffs.
They did.
Into the playoffs.
You're exactly right. And let me say this. Let me say this, too, because, Mike, we struggle with the Nats. Great call, Stan. Thank you so much for listening. The Nats, this is what they're doing, Mike.
Right.
They don't have the talent we have, but they're manufacturing runs.
No, I mean, you go back and look. I'm not a big Bobby Cox fan. I think he's a sacred cow in this town. I think you criticize Bobby. Some Braves fans lose their mind. Yeah, you had Otis Nixon, you steal bases, and you'd move runners over. But it's always been Earl Weaver baseball of this organization. It's a three-run homer and good pitching. That's been it. You know, I think for Kyle, 1 year was close to 50 stolen bases. But, I mean, they're few and far between. We just don't – we need something. And, again, maybe just maybe if you – got the odds of getting a Soler Rosario type and Jock Peterson type situation at the trade deadline, you know what the odds of that are again? Faith in Alex, I get it. But that's – you're hoping that you're going to bring in some guys on a budget because you're not going to break the bank, can get some kind of spark that helps to light the fire for the rest of the guys. That's a big if, isn't it?
It really is. All right, it's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. I want to talk to Ted. We'll continue this conversation, all right? Joining us, Danny Green, in about 10 minutes. So stay there. We'll talk NBA Finals. This is as frustrating as it's been. And we don't suck, which makes it even worse. This is a team that's right. built to win now. And so, therefore, there's something going on. Ted, why aren't the Braves hitting? What's going on?
Well, what I'm looking at here that y'all were talking about, the lack of home runs. What's their on-base percentage like? Who's going to be stealing bags? Who is going to, get the situational hitting at the right time? And at this point, I'm just not seeing any of that. It's like Yogi Berra said many years ago, 90% of this game is half mental. and I think all this stuff about what's been said about Bobby Cox, may God rest his soul. I never cared too much for him as a manager.
Bobby's not gone. He's not gone yet.
Oh, I thought he had died recently. My bad.
No, it's all right.
He was too much into pitching, defense, and three-run homers. Now, I'm like the other guy. Get him on, get him over, get him in.
Okay.
And they're just they're thinking too much up there. I heard this said many years ago in a World Series. One guy in the Detroit clubhouse, Dizzy Dean has said this. If them guys over there are thinking, they're as good as beat right now.
You shouldn't be thinking that right.
When you're stressed out because you're in a slump with the team, again, that's why we said somebody you're trying to do too much. You're not playing within yourself. And that's what Chipper always says. When you're struggling, just take the ball to center field.
That's right.
You know, just go with the with the flow.
Absolutely,
but,
Mike.
You know, and the thing is, and yes, Bobby Cox is alive and kicking. No, the thing about this team, you look, and he just asked about the on base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
The guy with the lead is Ozuna. The best guy with the on-base percentage is Ozuna. He's got more walks than anyone else. He's also, they're pitching around him at times because nobody else is hitting.
They can now.
Acuna's the next. And then Matt Olson coming out of the slump, his on-base percentage is .326. So there's a problem right there, man. That's a big issue. And the OPS, only guy who's in 900 above is Ozuna. Last year, the whole team was over 900, it seemed like.
We owned every category. What happened? Don't tell me about Ronald Acuna. Stop.
So what is this, a big collect? So is it just a collective funk that everybody, is it a slump is now contagious, is what you're telling me? Because that's what it looks like.
It does. All right. Here's what I got out of that. Because I need therapy right now. Pressing, the absence of Ron Washington, maybe the motivation factor. Is there some complacency? We got to get back to fundamentals. We don't manufacture runs. We stink with on-base percentage. We don't have situational hitting. You want me to go on? That's what I got from all of you.
Well, you don't have Ronald Acuna. Acuna went out, Carl, later in 2021, closer to the trade deadline. We have to go through an entire month and a half before you can try to moneyball it with, and I'm just using the examples of Soler, Peterson, and Rosario. That's what Alex was able to do last year. Those guys, you can't get those guys right now.
All right. They're back in action tonight, but I'm not talking about them. Danny Green's going to join us next. We got to figure it out. I'm sorry. I'm just frustrated. Odyssey NBA Insider. What's going to happen tonight with the Mavs and the Celtics? It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some hoops. Appreciate all the texts and tweets. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 92.9. about our Braves or their lack of offense. Danny Green is an Odyssey NBA insider. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. All right, Danny Green, what's the deal, man? Give me your your diagnosis after two games. What's going on with the Mavs? And then what are the Celtics doing to do what they're doing to the Mavs?
I don't think it's that hard to figure out. You know, Kai has really been struggling the first two games, which I don't think he'll continue to do. He'll play better at home in Dallas. They need to score. They haven't shot well. Boston shot poorly. They shot 25%, and you wouldn't think another team would shoot worse than that, but Dallas proved us wrong. They shot 23% from three, so ultimately they need to shoot better. They need to score more. They've had, I think, 89 the first game, 98 the second game. They haven't scored over 100, so they have to. Like I said, Kai has to find his rhythm. They have to shoot better, which they will at home. And Boston had a really great start to Game One, and Porzingis has been the difference maker, honestly. And he may not play in Game Three, so that's a huge advantage to Dallas. That changes the whole dynamic of the game because ultimately he was taking away their lob threats, you know, the offensive rebounds, and protecting the rim, and also contesting Kyrie and Luka's mid ranges and floaters and layups. And he was stretching the floor for their fives. So you don't have him. Obviously, Al Horford can stretch the floor, but he's not protecting the rim the same way. And, you know, he won't be stopping their lobs as much. So it'll be a way different game if Porzingis doesn't play.
And that's the thing, Danny. I just felt that you just nailed it. Kyrie can't shoot that bad at home. He's going to find his groove. And then Porzingis, especially game two, the way he was playing both ends of the court, you know, with the blocking shots and then making some big baskets, contributing. To me, he's a guy, you know, we know there's more depth on Boston, but he does look like he's been stirring the drink at times this series.
Yeah. It's ultimately the whole team said they need more. They need something from the bench as well. I think they could use Tim Hardaway a little bit more, a lot more actually, because they're not using him at all. But you know, Derrick Jones Jr. and PJ Washington will shoot a lot better. Kyrie will get back to himself. He'll get rid of rhythm. He may not play great, but he's not going to play as poorly as he did, I think, in those games. But you know, I think he just needs that one win to get the mental block, you know, off that team and out that arena, and that could change the series. And so we don't know what the status is for Porzingis. Health-wise, if he's out just one game, if he's even playing next game, or if he's out for the rest of the series, it seems more serious than what they're leading on to be. Mm. If they don't have him, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mind game from Jason Kidd, I guess, didn't work, huh, when he said that he thought Brown was the better player. And, you know, and then I heard, I think it was Drew Holiday, I'm sure you saw it, and Drew was like, I like both guys. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. They kind of downplayed it, and then they went out one game, too. Go ahead.
They have a team where Jason Tatum has to be best player. He's the best player on that team, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But certain games, certain series, he doesn't have to be. You know, they have many guys that can be. You know, Jaylen Brown's the best player in the series before. And in certain games, Derek White's the best player on the floor. Last game, when we thought Drew Holiday was definitely the best player on the floor, and that's what makes a really good team, because the best player is not going to be the best player always on the floor that night. They're all going to be impactful, but I don't think there's any doubt about who's the man of that team, who's the best player on that team. And it's more of a 1-2 punch more than anything. You know, both of them are very skilled and talented guys, so it's their team. It's not just one guy's team, but it's their team. And ultimately, said Jason Tatum has been struggling a little bit, but we know what caliber of a player he is, and the standard he holds himself to and everybody holds him to. So, you know, Jason Kidd, you know, he tried to, I said, I don't know if it was a mind game or not, but he tried to slip one in there to maybe cause some, you know, ruckus. And, you know, Jason didn't go for the bait. He goes, you know, this is not our first rodeo. People have been trying to drive a wedge between us and compare us. It's not about that for us. And, you know, Jalen's taking everything in great stride. He know he didn't make an All-NBA team this year, which he should have. Or, you know, I guess first or second team, he should have been on. And, you know, he's has a chip on his shoulder, and he's letting people know about it, but he doesn't really care anymore. He's like, I don't care about the credit, I just want to win. So he's hooping, he's not worried about it, he's not thinking about it. And I don't think, you know, Jason Tatum is either. He just wants to perform well and play well. He doesn't care about the award.
Right.
My advice to them is just keep hooping, win one, and, you know, worry about everything else later. It doesn't matter who gets what award, because nobody really cares at that point.
Yeah, the team is just loaded. Danny Green's with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. How much heat does Luka deserve for his lack of defense at times?
With the injuries that he has and how much he's scoring for them.
Doesn't matter.
I think he gets a pass.
So it's going to be. So if they lose, it's going to be on Kyrie then, basically. They're going to come. The media is going to be on Kyrie.
To me, it's never on one person when you lose a game, when you lose a series. Yes, part of it is Kai not scoring as much. I wouldn't put it on him, but part of it is he's not scoring. Part of it is Luka's not defending well. Part of it is their bench is not helping them. Part of it is they're not shooting well. You know, they're scoring, but they're not shooting. Like, P.J. Washington scored some baskets, and so did Derrick Jones Jr., but not the way they did against Minnesota and OKC. They're not hitting those threes, which ultimately spaces the floor. 23% from three is pretty bad, you know? So, it's not a one-person thing. And said, but the way Luka's been carrying them offensively with the injuries he's had, he's been questionable. I think, you know, defensively, he's doing partially what he's supposed to do. A lot of times they want to shoot threes. And yet, some people get in by him, but I'm pretty sure they're telling him run guys off the line. We don't want open threes or any contested threes, so he's running at guys. And ultimately, he puts them in rotation, and it sucks, but he's taking away the three. From my understanding and my point of view, when I see it, because even as a defender myself, I've been privy to of looking like that at times where I'm running guys off the line. It's like, yo, we don't want any corner threes, we want any this three, so run them off the line. It's like, all right, we run them off the line and make them go one direction. Because you want to give those guys, especially if they're shooting well, you want to give them any type of threes or any type of rhythm.
Gotcha. Good insight, man.
Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024. Danny Green's like, you damn right. Equipped for adventure with capable features like the available H-Trike all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. So let's talk strategy real quick, dog. Let's talk strategy. Is this just simply a bad matchup for the Mavs? Because I see the Celtics literally, to your point, guarding them straight up. A lot of help that other teams were bringing, whether it was OKC or whether it was the T-Wolves, right? Think about the shot with Rudy Gobert where they switch him up and then Luka takes advantage. Mm-hmm. Celtics have the ability to switch and still guard these guys. Is it that simple?
Maybe. I mean, obviously it's easy to say that when they're losing, right?
Okay.
It would be a whole different conversation if they were split 1-1. If Kyrie plays his normal game 10 points plus better, you'd be like, oh, I don't think it's a bad matchup. Ultimately, their guys aren't playing as good. It's all the timing, too. It's not just a matchup. Like, I don't think Dallas is a bad matchup for Minnesota. But if Minnesota had played them one round earlier, would they be fresher?
Yeah.
Would they have beaten Dallas? Would they have not? They wouldn't have, like, lost three games straight. I don't see that. They're a really good team. They're just mentally young and not mature, and they played a really good series, hard-fought series with Denver. And Dallas caught them at the right time. Not saying that Dallas is not the better team, that they deserve to win, but I don't think they win in that fashion if it's an earlier round than Minnesota. So when you got Kai, if Kai had never played in Boston, would he be playing differently? You know, it's a lot of different scenarios. So I don't think this matchup is a bad matchup. I just ultimately, some series guys play better than others in other series. You know what I'm saying? Like, some guys make it high, and some series they might not be there. So, you know, Derrick Jones and PJ is not shooting the same way they did. Kai is not scoring the way they did. If you've seen them playing the way they played against Minnesota has defensive guys. They have Kat, Gobert, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels. They have a lineup of defenders. You know, ain't no different than Boston. They just played their normal game, and they played well. And if they play their normal game and play well, I like to think this would be a different series. So this conversation wouldn't be happening. It wouldn't be a bad matchup. But Porzingis does make a big difference, and when he's healthy and able to play, he's a different type of rim protector. He's a combination of Gobert and Cat, you know, in one. Mm-hmm. It's a tough cover. And they said they have a lot of other pieces that are really good. Derek White can go off for you. Drew Holiday can go off for you. They have a lot of explosive, you know, offensive power and defensive power in that starting group. Right. It's the bench is where I feel like they may lack a little depth, but they're just really good, man. And you have to tip their hats off to them. It's a really good team, but.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Dallas either ran out of gas or injuries, bumps, or mental blocks and just not playing the normal basketball, what we've seen in the past series or two.
I'm just, you know, Danny, you know how it is on the street. I'm just trying to simplify it. Like, right, if we're at the barbershop and guys are like, dog, they just don't match up.
Yeah.
Right? And guys just feel like there's no way that Dallas or that the Celtics, you know, are going to lose this series because they don't match up. And I just want to know if it's that simplistic. To your point, it is not. It's Danny Green here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Like, you just laid it out there. You got four or five guys on Boston that can score every night. They can do different things every night. And it just comes back to, it's almost like the Mavs are top heavy the way the Nuggets are top heavy. But the Nuggets obviously have found a way to get it done. Danny, what about tonight? Let's just assume Kyrie gets it cooking. Porzingis doesn't go. Maybe doesn't play the rest of the series. Can this thing get back to being a six or seven game series?
Oh, 100%. I think
they get, the only thing it takes is one win to get them in rhythm and playing well and getting their confidence back. They win tonight, and it's especially Porzingis doesn't play. This is definitely going 6-7 games. You know what I'm saying? But with him, that's a big difference. I think it would have been probably a 5-game, still could be extended to 6. I think Dallas for sure gets this one. I think game 4 is up in the air. But I could see them for sure getting at least 2. But if Porzingis doesn't play, they can get 3 and extend it to 7. I don't know if they'll climb out of the hole and win the series. But, yeah, ultimately, this series is going to be – I'd like to think it's going to be extensive. And I hope it's extensive. We want to watch basketball more in the summer than not. So we're hoping it's more of an extensive series.
Danny, did you have a relationship with the all-time great Jerry West, who passed away today at age 86? And if so, or your interactions with him, could you tell us about it?
Man, rest in peace, man, to Jerry West. This is the logo. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't come across special people often. I didn't have a great relationship with him, but I had a couple of conversations with him. A few talks during free agency, a few talks after that. When I seen him in L.A. and saw him courtside, he always had a seriousness but a funniness to him at the same time. He would tell like it was, man. He'd tell you the real stories, and he kept it real. So, and everybody loved him for that. He was genuine. And, you know, he was a real, you know, guy's guy. You know, he'd shoot the stuff with you a little bit. But few conversations, man, but went a long way. Very heartfelt, full, feeling like, man, you know, Jerry West is one of the coolest guys I've ever, you know, come across. And, you know, he's just like us. You know, he's a regular dude. And back in the day, you know, obviously he was different. But, you know, he was a special person, special, you know, player to our league and our fraternity. I feel like we're losing a lot of greats as of late, you know, Bill Walton as well.
Let's talk some hoops. Appreciate all the texts and tweets. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. About our Braves or their lack of offense. Danny Green is an Odyssey NBA insider. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. All right, Danny Green, what's the deal, man? Give me your your diagnosis after 2 games. What's going on with the Mavs? And then what are the Celtics doing to do what they're doing to the Mavs?
I mean, I don't think it's that hard to figure out. You know, Kai has really been struggling the first 2 games, which I don't think he'll continue to do. He'll play better at home in Dallas. They need to score. They haven't shot well. Boston shot poorly. They shot 25%, and you wouldn't think another team would shoot worse than that, but Dallas proved us wrong. They shot 23% from 3, so ultimately they need to shoot better. They need to score more. They've had, I think, 89 the first game, 98 the second game. They haven't scored over 100, so they have to. Like I said, Kai has to find his rhythm. They have to shoot better, which they will at home. And Boston had a really great start to Game 1, and Porzingis has been the difference maker, honestly. And he may not play in Game 3, so that's a huge advantage to Dallas. That changes the whole dynamic of the game because ultimately he was taking away their lob threats, you know, the offensive rebounds, and protecting the rim, and also contesting Kyrie and Luka's mid ranges and floaters and layups. And he was stretching the floor for their fives. So you don't have him. Obviously, Al Horford can stretch the floor, but he's not protecting the rim the same way. And, you know, he won't be stopping their lobs as much. So it'll be a way different game if Porzingis doesn't play.
And that's the thing, Danny. I just felt that you just nailed it. Kyrie can't shoot that bad at home. He's going to find his groove. And then Porzingis, especially game 2, the way he was playing both ends of the court, you know, with the blocking shots and then making some big baskets, contributing. To me, he's a guy, you know, we know there's more depth on Boston, but he does look like he's been stirring the drink at times this series.
Yeah. It ultimately, the whole team said they need more. They need something from the bench as well. I think they could use Tim Hardaway a little bit more, a lot more actually, because they're not using him at all. But you know, Derrick Jones Jr. and PJ Washington will shoot a lot better. Kyrie will get back to himself. He'll get rhythm. He may not play great, but he's not going to play as poorly as he did, I think, in those games. But you know, I think he just needs that one win to get the mental block, you know, off that team and out that arena, and that could change the series. And so we don't know what the status is for Porzingis. Health-wise, if he's out just 1 game, if he's even playing next game, or if he's out for the rest of the series, it seems more serious than what they're leading on to be. If they don't have him, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mind game from Jason Kidd, I guess, didn't work, huh? When he said, that he thought Brown was the better player. And, you know, and then I heard, I think it was Drew Holiday. I'm sure you saw it. And Drew was like, I like both guys. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. They kind of downplayed it. And then they went out one game, too. Yeah, I mean. Go ahead. Go ahead.
They have a team where Jason Tatum has to be best player. He's the best player on that team for sure. There's no doubt about it. But certain games, certain series, he doesn't have to be. You know, they have many guys that can be. You know, Jaylen Brown's the best player in the series before. Right. You know, and in certain games, Derek White's the best player on the floor. Last game, when we thought Drew Holiday was definitely the best player on the floor, and that's what makes a really good team, because the best player is not going to be the best player always on the floor that night. They're all going to be impactful, but I don't think there's any doubt about who's the best, who's the man of that team, who's the best player on that team. And it's more of a 1-2 punch more than anything. You know, both of them are very skilled and talented guys, so it's their team. It's not just one guy's team, but it's their team. And ultimately, said Jason Tatum has been struggling a little bit, but we know what caliber of a player he is, and the standard he holds himself to, and everybody holds him to. So, you know, Jason Kidd, you know, he tried to. I said I don't know if it was a mind game or not, but he tried to slip one in there to maybe cause some, you know, ruckus. And you know, Jason didn't go for the bait. He goes, you know, this is not our first rodeo. People have been trying to drive a wedge between us and compare us. It's not about that for us. And you know, Jalen's taking everything in great stride. You know, he didn't make an All NBA team this year, which he should have. Or, you know, I guess first or second team, he should have been on. And, you know, he has a chip on his shoulder, and he's letting people know about it, but he doesn't really care anymore. He's like, I don't care about the credit, I just want to win. So he's hooping, he's not worried about it, he's not thinking about it. And I don't think, you know, Jason Tatum is either. He just wants to perform well and play well. He doesn't care about the award.
Right.
My advice to them is just keep hooping, win one, and, you know, worry about everything else later. It doesn't matter who gets what award, because nobody really cares at that point.
Yeah, the team is just loaded. Danny Green's with us here, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. How much heat does Luka deserve for his lack of defense at times?
With the injuries that he has and how much he's scoring for them.
Doesn't matter.
I think he gets a pass.
So it's going to be. So if they lose, it's going to be on Kyrie then, basically. They're going to come. The media is going to be on Kyrie.
To me, it's never on one person when you lose a game, when you lose a series. Yes. Part of it is Kai not scoring as much. I wouldn't put it on him, but part of it is he's not scoring. Part of it is Luke is not defending well. Part of it is their bench is not helping them. Part of it is they're not shooting well. You know, Derek, they're scoring, but they're not shooting. Like, P.J. Washington scored some baskets, and so did Derek Jones Jr., but not against the way they did against Minnesota and OKC. They're not hitting those threes, which ultimately spaces the floor. 23% from three is pretty bad, you know? So, you know, so it's not a one-person thing. And said, but the way Luke has been carrying him offensively with the injuries that he's been questionable, I think, you know, defensively, he's doing partially what he's supposed to do. A lot of times they want to shoot threes. And yet, some people get in by him, but I'm pretty sure they're telling him to run guys off the line. We don't want open threes or any contested threes, so he's running at guys. And ultimately, it puts them in rotation, and it sucks, but he's taking away the three. From my understanding and my point of view when I see it, because even as a defender myself, I've been privy to of looking like that at times where I'm running guys off the line. It's like, yo, we don't want any corner threes. We want any this three. So run them off the line. It's like, all right, we run them off the line and make them go one direction. Because you want to give those guys, especially if they're shooting well, you want to give them any type of threes or any type of rhythm.
Gotcha. Good insight, man.
Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024. Danny Green's like, you damn right. Quit for adventure with capable features like the available H-Trike all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. So let's talk strategy real quick, dog. Let's talk strategy. Is this just simply a bad matchup for the Mavs? Because I see the Celtics literally, to your point, guarding them straight up. A lot of help that other teams were bringing, whether it was OKC or whether it was the T-Wolves, right? Think about the shot with Rudy Gobert where they switch him up and then Luka takes advantage. Mm-hmm. Celtics have the ability to switch and still guard these guys. Is it that simple?
Maybe. I mean, obviously it's easy to say that when they're losing, right?
Okay.
It would be a whole different conversation if they were split 1-1. If Kyrie plays his normal game 10 points plus better, you'd be like, oh, I don't think it's a bad matchup. Ultimately, their guys aren't playing as good. It's all the timing, too. It's not just the matchup. Like, I don't think Dallas is a bad matchup for Minnesota, but if Minnesota had played them one round earlier, would they be fresher?
Yeah.
Would they have beaten Dallas? Would they have not? They would not like lost three games straight. I don't see that. They're a really good team. They're just mentally young and not mature, and they played a really good series, hard fought series with Denver, and Dallas caught them at the right time. Not saying that Dallas is not the better team, that they deserve to win, but I don't think they win in that fashion if it's an earlier round than Minnesota. So when you got Kai, if Kai had never played in Boston, would he be playing differently? You know, it's a lot of different scenarios. So I don't think this matchup is a bad matchup. I just ultimately, some series guys play better than others in other series. You know what I'm saying? Like, some guys make it high, and some guys, some series they might not be there. So, you know, Derek Jones and PJ is not shooting the same way they did. Kai is not scoring the way they did. If you've seen them playing the way they played against Minnesota, Minnesota has defensive guys. They have Kat, Gobert, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels. They have a lineup of defenders. You know, ain't no different than Boston. They just played their normal game, and they played well. And if they play their normal game and play well, I like to think this would be a different series. So this conversation wouldn't be happening. It wouldn't be a bad matchup. But Porzingis does make a big difference, and when he's healthy and able to play, he's a different type of rim protector. He's a combination of Gobert and Cat, you know, in one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a tough cover. And they said they have a lot of other pieces that are really good. Derek White can go off for you. Jrue Holiday can go off for you. They have a lot of explosive, you know, offensive power and defensive power in that starting group. Right. It's the bench is where I feel like they may lack a little depth, but they're just really good, man. And you have to tip their hats off to them. It's a really good team. But, yeah. Unfortunately, Dallas either ran out of gas or injuries, bumps, or mental blocks and just not playing the normal basketball, what we've seen in the past series or two.
I'm just, you know, Danny, you know how it is on the street. I'm just trying to simplify it. Like, right, if we're at the barbershop and guys are like, dog, they just don't match up.
Yeah.
Right? And guys just feel like there's no way that Dallas or that the Celtics, you know, are going to lose this series because they don't match up. And I just want to know if it's that simplistic. To your point, it is not. It's Danny Green here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Like, you just laid it out there. You got four or five guys on Boston that can score every night. They can do different things every night. And it just comes back to, it's almost like the Mavs are top-heavy the way the Nuggets are top-heavy, but the Nuggets obviously have found a way to get it done. Danny, what about tonight? Let's just assume Kyrie gets it cooking. Porzingis doesn't go, maybe doesn't play the rest of the series. Can this thing get back to being a six- or seven-game series?
Oh, 100%. I think they get, the only thing is 1-1 to get them in rhythm and playing well and getting their confidence back. They win tonight, and it's especially if Porzingis doesn't play, this is definitely going 6-7 games. You know what I'm saying? So, but with him, that's a big difference. I think it would have been probably a 5-game, still could be extended to 6. I think Dallas for sure gets this one. I think game 4 is up in the air, but I could see them for sure getting at least 2. But if Porzingis doesn't play, they can get 3 and extend it to 7. I don't know if they'll climb out of the hole and win the series, but yeah, ultimately, this series is going to be, I'd like to think it's going to be extensive, and I hope it's extensive. We're going to watch basketball more in the summer than not, so we're hoping it's more of an extensive series.
Danny, did you have a relationship with the all-time great Jerry West, who passed away today at age 86? And if so, or your interactions with him, could you tell us about it?
Man, rest in peace, man, to Jerry West. The logo, you know, you don't come across special people often. I didn't have a great relationship with him, but I had a couple of conversations with him. A few talks during free agency, a few talks after that. When I seen him in L.A. and saw him courtside, he always had a seriousness but a funniness to him at the same time. He would tell like it was, man. He'd tell you the real stories. He kept it real. So, and everybody loved him for that. He was genuine. And, you know, he was a real, you know, guy's guy. You know, shoot the stuff with you a little bit. But, Few conversations, man, but went a long way. Very heartfelt, full, feeling like, man, you know, Jerry West is one of the coolest guys I've ever, you know, come across. And, you know, he's just like us. You know, he's a regular dude. And back in the day, you know, obviously he's different. But, you know, he was a special person, special, you know, player to our league and our fraternity. I feel like we're losing a lot of greats as of late, you know, Bill Walton as well.
Sure.
Even guys not in our league, you know, I've seen we've lost another basketball. I don't know how to categorize this gentleman. A New York Hall of Fame, like a Hall of Fame in New York basketball player that I know, a legend, New York City legend, Corey Williams, homicide. He was big in the Australian league.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just been tough to see so many people that we know, so many great, especially legends in our game, just leave us. You know, but you know, he lived a really, it didn't seem like he lived a full life. Prayers to his family and also the Waltons. So, but yeah, this is an honor to come across him and meet him, able to chance to have a conversation with him. Him and actually, you know, to talk to me and actually try to recruit me to, you know, play for his organization at one point. So, it's amazing, man. So I've been very blessed to be able to meet some of these people that I've watched growing up and watch on TV and make movies of, you know. So
I hear you. No doubt. And we were saying this as we started the show today. If you're just joining us, Jerry West passed away, age 86. And we'll dive into his career and all the things he accomplished. I said, Danny, you know, his accomplishments as an executive are incredible. Like, he is the logo. But
I mean, he accomplished things all across the board, not just in our basketball. Yeah, he's done so many things that probably we don't even know about, but he was an amazing executive and put together some great teams.
He also shared, I read that book, it came out about 15 years ago, he wrote the autobiography, he really shared his childhood was rough. His dad was about as rough as they come. He battled depression. Mm-hmm. You know, in Winning Time, they kind of focus, almost cartoonish, but, you know, Jerry West, he hated losing. And do guys care about as much as he seemed to care? I mean, obviously you take a loss.
I don't know. The crazy thing is, I don't think anybody looked at him in a bad light on the Winning Time. I know he didn't like the role and how he's portrayed, but I loved it.
You
know,
me too.
That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
You know, that's a competitor. You know what I'm saying? That's a basket. That's how it was back in the day, and that's we didn't expect anything less. And we wish there was more guys like that in the world. The league was more like that today.
Right.
So, yeah, man. I forget what was the question. I'm sorry.
We're just talking about Jerry.
Do guys take that? I mean, do guys grind all off season that they lost the big one, or is it? I mean, Kobe was that
care
guy
as much as him. Right. He's one of one, man. And very few, especially from today's day. Back in the day, I think some did, but you don't find many guys that care that much about the game. That he went to so many finals and lost and came up short.
Right.
But he was just so passionate about the game, man. See Kobe, you see Mike, those guys with that mental pass, especially when they make it, they don't care about how much money they make. They just want to win. They just want to kill you and they want to step on you. I'm saying, like, that's just, they're just ultimate competitors. They didn't care about anything else but putting you, on your, on your back, beating you, stepping on you, keeping their foot on the gas, they don't make them like that anymore. I mean, those guys are one of one.
I'll say this, and we'll wrap up. Danny Green, our guest, always appreciate you stopping by. Odyssey Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Jerry West was so bad. I'm talking about a bad man.
Right.
He was an NBA Finals MVP on a losing team.
That's it'll never be done again.
No, ever. Yeah, that's how bad Jerry West was. He put on a show in 69, so much so that they were like, he's the MVP, even though his team doesn't win it. Anyways, man, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Always good to talk with you, Danny Green. We'll see what happens tonight in game two, bro. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we have a series, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
For sure, yeah. I'm hoping too, man. Y'all enjoy the game. Well, we'll talk soon.
Thank you,
Thanks, brother.
All right, Danny Green here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got a lot more to get to this hour, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. to check out all the things they offer. He says he's grappling with his football mortality. Who are we talking about? Find out as part of our NFL Blitz.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you.
Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.